If Harvick's able to clear the one of Jamie McMurray and a caution comes out, he'll be back on the lead lap.
Rick, join us as we break down the latest news, stories, and race events from the three biggest divisions in motorsports.
Into the wall, then into the two. The two goes around. The caution's going to come out.
The Gander Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Will Joey Logano repeat?
A drag race, they're sideways, and it's going to be Logano getting the win.
Or will someone else take claim on being the next champion? It's time for the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast's bonus edition on a Sunday, the last day of June. My name is Eddie Greer III, EG3, Eddie Greer III for the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast. We're all about the latest in the world of NASCAR, Gander Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and of course the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. If this is your first time checking in, thank you for tuning in to the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast on this special bonus edition. This was a last minute put together on this bonus interview that we're going to hop on here in a little bit. At the bottom of the hour, we will be joined by Isabella Robusto, U.S. Legend Car Semi Pro Series, and she is also a part of the up-and-coming drivers for Rev Racing. If I could do the math, I believe she's 17 years old, and she won her very first race just last week. So this was a last minute put together late in the week, and we're excited to bring her on for a little bit. And this is actually perfect timing. We are recording this actually as lightning strikes Chicagoland Speedway, the Cape World 400. We have it on blast, not exactly quote unquote blast. Big D here with me as well. We have the TV obviously turned down on mute because we're recording this interview right now here in a few minutes. And oh, by the way, let's get business taken care of before we get to Isabella, the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast. Obviously, we'll have our post-race all reaction from Chicagoland here this week. A lot of action happening, including some breaking news from the Xfinity Series. You have to wait to the post-race for Chicago for that. The 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at EG3_fast. Eddie again at EG3_fast. Eddie. And you can find the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast wherever you get your podcast. Download your podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, CastBox, iTunes, and yes, giveaway is still on notice until we hit our goals, and I eclipsed over 300 a few days ago, and it's still going on right now. So, in order for this giveaway to happen, of course, the EG3 number has to hit 325 on Twitter and on iTunes. Please leave us a rating and review. How many ratings, you ask? 50 ratings on iTunes, and please, if you're willing, leave us a comment and review. That will be awesome to help us out as we continue to do this podcast. No, I'm not getting paid to do it. This is from the love of enjoying these to do what I like to do on the side, is that's talk NASCAR with you guys. So appreciate you guys listening each and every week. Like I said at the top, Isabella Robusto will be joining me here shortly while we wait on the red light to go off here in the EG3 garage area on this nice day up north of us. Maybe 5, 6, 7 hours, or I shouldn't say that, about an eight-hour trip. I went to Chicago a few years ago, not on a NASCAR trip. It was a much different occasion, as I got awarded for being one of the most academic people in my group. Chicagoland right now, and we literally just turned it on, Big D, and it is cloudy. Then a tornado is about to hit that place over there. It is dark, and it can't do it injustice right now. I know from what we watched on social media here and there, it's been one of those weekends. But I tell you, Clap Traffic Nation, Lap Traffic's host, Brandon Crowd, Lap Track Podcast. He's up there right now, lightning, literally lightning around the area. They just dropped the green flag, literally. And you're thinking, with lightning around the area, why would you drop the green flag when dangerous weather is approaching? So that's kind of what I'm thinking here. They're only 10 laps in to this race, so I mean, they're on a weather delay right now, red flagging right now. We have Dale Jr. Steve, they're chatting about the playoff picture right now and talking about that cut line right now. And the person, as of now, as we record this episode right now, obviously, hopefully, we might know tomorrow. Here, we'll have to see how this weather plays out here the rest of the afternoon over there, or I should say up there in Chicagoland, Joliet, Illinois. But Jimmy Johnson, the 48, passed Austin Dillon, and them clouds do not look good right now. Yes, they have lights at Chicagoland Speedway right now, but oh man, right now, you can't even see a thing right now when you're looking at this TV screen. I know you guys listen to this podcast, but it is totally dark around turns 3 and 4, and they're currently showing the famous slide job call from Dale Jr. last year. Kyle Larson and Kyle Busch obviously were a part of that. So kind of a little bit of an update here. Yes, this podcast episode, I should say, will be up tomorrow. We've had a couple of good ones here with some of these interviews here. Of course, Gracie Trotter last week, and also Brooke Store as well the week before. If you have not listened to those, I would probably tell you to download those and listen to those while you're getting caught up. If you're new to the podcast, please download. We have archives already on iTunes. Obviously, as always, please download the podcast. Tell your friends about the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. And, of course, right now, weather delay over there for the Camping World 400. Yeah, and a little bit controversial of a start. Only 11 laps in, Jimmy Johnson took the lead away from Austin Dillon there 2 laps before NASCAR put the caution out of lightning. So I just wonder, why would they start it? I know they want to start on time, but in that situation there with weather around the area, especially in the Midwest where you get these lightning strikes and of course the unpredictability of tornadoes, we don't know exactly what's going on obviously because the TV is on mute, but I'm not saying there's no tornado over there, but obviously we can tell by thunderstorms over there. So a little bit of kind of concern there on NASCAR's part. Why would they start the race right there when they know and you're only 10 minutes in action? And Big D, we saw obviously with this package, downforce package, 3-4 wide right off the bat, a lot of activity up front there with Austin Dillon, and I had literally concerns about that RCR bunch that qualified well yet again. That's been a trend here this year, at least with this new, I shouldn't say new, this we're 10 races away from the playoffs. The 2019 package, the downforce package, I'm going to call it, these RCR cars have been fast. Obviously, some qualifying. Daniel Hemric was up there to start the race as well. Austin Dillon showing the muscle early on there. And Jimmy Johnson there taking it away from Austin Dillon. Nowhere close to the first stage. So, I have concerns about that. I just don't know. But as the afternoon goes on, we'll definitely monitor the situation when we get done here with Isabella here. You won't hear from us again until, of course, post-race Chicagoland and sneak peek, or I should say sneak peek. Well, might as well go sneak peek. You'll see the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. And, of course, saving most of the meat for the post-race. But, of course, Friday night, Brett Moffitt wins, the defending champ, now winners of 2 of the last 3. And, again, Outdoor Truck Series, they have a couple weeks off before they have next week off, and then they're back on track at Kentucky. And then Cole Custer gets out the belt one more time, put a spanking on the field yesterday. And breaking news from there, Christopher Bell, who finished third in the race yesterday, gets DQ'd for not passing tech. That sound familiar with Ross Chastain? Ross Chastain won the event in Iowa a couple weeks ago, got the win taken away, did not pass tech because of front end too low, and now you get this Christopher Bell not passing tech because the springs or whatever did not come up to the amount that it should have been. So strict right off the bat there. Unfortunate situation on multiple levels there, and I'll explain that why on the post race. But yeah, Christopher Bell, 4 wins there on the year, a solid top 3 finish in that mix right there. But unfortunate situations there yesterday that Christopher Bell's third place gets thrown in the garbage due to pit stops. And now you fast forward to right now in this moment of time after recording the bonus interview, or just say the bonus episode of the podcast. Once again, we have Isabella Robusto, young cat from the U.S. Legend Car Semi-Pro Series, will join us here. And almost here, a couple more minutes here, we're waiting here for the red light to go off here. This was, again, folks, look, folks, this was a kind of a last minute put together here. And she's like, well, you want to, we have her ready to go. And she won her race last week. I'm like, okay, well, I'll be more than welcome to bring her on this week. This is actually the first weekend interview of the 3Y NASCAR podcast. So very honored here, and we're watching here. I know we're going back and forth a little bit while we're waiting for a special guest here this afternoon. Austin Dillon has a big smile on his face right now there. And like I said, he's showing some muscle right now. He has to win. He's also on that outside going in. Jimmy Johnson, 1 point out from the playoff spot right now. So we'll see how this situation plays out the rest of the afternoon. EG3 Big D 3Y NASCAR podcast bonus edition. We're rolling along. We're about to go 3Y with Isabella Robusto. Hopefully I said it right the whole entire time. Isabella Robusto from the U.S. Legend Car Semi-Pro Series will join us here in a matter of moments. And when that red light go off here in our studio, we will take time out here. And ooh, it is picking up over there. The wind, it is moving at Chicagoland Speedway. We'd rather have been talking about racing, but instead, we're talking about heavy winds right now. The cars are covered and they're lifted almost half. Some of these cars, car covers are almost lifted away from these cars a little bit, so we'll have to wait it out and see. Yes, these guys got lights at Chicagoland Speedway up there, but hey, it's not supposed to get dark till in the Midwest. Until it's been getting dark around here about 9-ish, Big D, somewhere around there. It's the summertime, and I like it days long. Well, unless you're working, of course, but I have a good job, great job that I'm working with. But hey, summertime, you get long days. We'll just see. Buckle up, folks. This one have to wait it out. And again, the controversial kind of start right there with, you know, crazy weather approaching. You go ahead and start the race anyway. So I just wonder what NASCAR was thinking about, especially dangerous weather. We're talking about lightning around the racetrack. And you got fans right there. This is not no Darlington where, you know, fans are passionate and they don't want to stick around, but you don't want to play around with it. I mean, look, I mean, we've seen some crazy stuff happen here, especially last couple weeks, at least here in Manhattan, Kansas. Of course, I did not mention 3Y NASCAR podcast from the MHK Manhattan, Kansas, where lightning struck a building a few days ago here in town. So lightning is nothing to play around with. We're going to go ahead, actually, and break here on the 3Y NASCAR podcast. We come back on the other side. Our special guest will join us. You're listening to 3Y NASCAR podcast. We'll be back.
This is a quick pit stop. The 3Y Countrywide NASCAR Podcast with EG3 will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
This is pre-recording, so it'll be up tomorrow night. So it's sort of live, but it's not live. So all right. Oh man, I don't know what is going on with the bad music bed, but oh, by the way, welcome back to the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3. I'm gonna have to get that figured out here this week with that stuff. So sorry about that, Big D, but speaking of which, while we're live, let's just go ahead. We have our special guest on the line. Let's bring her on right now, if we will, while Chicagoland is being weather delayed right now. Joining us on a 3Wide NASCAR podcast, Isabella Robusto. I hope I said that right, Isabella. How you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad at all. Getting cooled off from the nice weather here in Manhattan, Kansas. Tell the folks what you've been up to this weekend.
This weekend I traveled down to Myrtle Beach and I practiced a late model with my Rev Racing team.
All right. And how did that go? How that testing go for you?
It went great. Well, the first time in the car, I was just getting used to the shifting and how the cars handled differently from the Legend car, and just overall getting to know how the handling works. And Mark Green helps me with getting to learn the mechanics of the car and just helping me get better.
Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Mark Green should be a familiar name for all NASCAR fans who are into NASCAR here. Isabella, I want to let you take it away for a little bit. A lot of people are not obviously familiar with you, so give us a little background of how you got to this point.
So I first started racing when I was 5.5 years old. My dad and my grandpa got me into racing with my twin brother, Will. We started out racing cadet go-karts at CMP and GoPro Motorplex, and we raced go-karts for about 5 years. And then when we turned 8, we got into the Bandolero at Charlotte Motor Speedway. And we raced the Summer Shootout at Charlotte. And then when I turned 11, I got a permit to get into the Legend car a year early. And I started doing the Summer Shootout and some of the Atlanta races and the Legend car, and just worked my way up through the different ranks in the Legend car from young line to semi-pro, and now I'm getting into the Legend car.
Late model,
sorry.
You're listening to 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. We're joined by Isabella Robusto from the U.S. Legend Car Semi-Pro Series, joins us this afternoon on the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. So, Isabella, Why racing? Why did you choose to go this route while you're in your young career here?
Well, when I was young, my dad just got me into racing, and ever since, I've just been stuck to it. Like, I love just knowing that I can learn something new every time I go out onto the track and just getting to go fast and beating all the boys.
Yeah, that's always a good thing. And I'm probably going to answer my own question, but have you gotten involved in any other sports, or just you've been focused on racing?
Yes, so throughout middle school, I played on the 8th grade football team as the kicker.
All right.
I played basketball for 8th grade, and I also did track and field for 7th and 8th grade, and I was the high jump and long jump champion.
Oh, nice. What was your name of the middle school that you went to?
Pleasant Knoll Middle School.
Okay.
In Fort Mill, South Carolina.
Okay, all right. And for those of you who are not familiar with South Carolina, obviously, Isabella mentioned this already. She came back from Myrtle Beach on a test. So, how many tracks or go-kart tracks are in South Carolina? Do you have any idea? Or
There's only one that we mainly go to, Carolina Motorsports Park. But there are roughly 4 regional tracks.
All right. And what are those? Do you know those tracks off top of your hand? Top of hand?
Well, we race at Atlanta, Mooresville, and CMP.
Okay. All right. And how was the... I want to go back a little bit with the whole go-kart experience for you. How did that turn out for you? Did you enjoy driving, racing those go-karts?
Yes, so for multiple years, we raced all up and down the East Coast in multiple different series, from WKA to USPKS to the F Series. And we raced mostly down in Florida for a couple of years. We did 20 to 25 races in Florida a year. We went to Palm Beach, Orlando, just Miami, all of the well-known go-kart tracks in Florida. And then we went up to New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, Georgia, North Carolina, and then South Carolina. We just raced all up and down the East Coast.
Okay. All right, nice. We're talking with Isabella Robusto here on the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast, U.S. Legend Car Semi-Pro Series. In this series that you're currently in now, how many races are in the season?
So, currently I'm racing the Bojangles Summer Shootout at Charlotte Motor Speedway. It's a 10-race series. Currently, we've done 4 races, and on Monday is going to be practice, and then Tuesday night we'll be racing for the 5th race. Right now, I've got 1 win. I finished 2nd, 3rd, and 4th for the 4 races, and I'm 2nd in points right now.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful job so far. And speaking of that, you actually transitioned into my next question. You're coming up, you say you finished first, going back to last Tuesday. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So, coming off of that victory last week, how did that feel to get a win last week?
It just felt amazing. We've been trying for so many years just to get to the point to where we can win and be in the top 5 consistently. And just this year, we've gotten faster and faster every race, and the car handles better every time. And NASCAR diversity just helps me and helps me get there. And AK Performance works on the cars and makes them faster and makes them handle great every race.
That's a good feeling when you can get in a car that can drive well and you can take it to the front and win with the car. And Isabella, how did you get involved or get started with the Drive for Diversity program with NASCAR?
So when I was 11, we applied to the team, and I ended up making the team with Nick Sanchez, and we raced 1 year with them at the Bojangles Summer Shootout, which is the top series for legend cars in the entire country. And I finished 6th in points that year. And then the next year, when I was 12, I ended up racing with them again. And we had, that was more of a rough season. We didn't have the best races all year. I finished, it was around 10th overall. And then this is my fourth year with Rev Racing and NASCAR Diversity, racing the Bojangles Summer Shootout with them.
Okay, and have you, I imagine you've had a good experience so far with Rev Racing.
Yes, they helped me with all of the media side of racing. They just helped me, like, get better at interviews and social media and just, like, getting to know how the cars work and just helping me understand more detailed about how racing works. And they allow me to come to their shop and work on the late models and just get an idea of how they work, so that when I get into the K&N and late model series, hopefully with them, I'll know what to expect.
We're going three wide here with Isabella Robusto here with the U.S. Legend Car Semi-Pro Series that Isabella is currently a part of right now. I want to go back a couple years ago to 2016, where you had a pair of thirds back in 16. You finished third overall in the Bandolero Winter Nationals. And then, not too far in there, you finished third once again in the IAME USPKS GoPro Motorsports. How is that experience there, racing in those divisions?
Well, racing the IAME car was probably one of the most fun series that I've raced. There's just so much competition, and for go-karts, it's all of the best drivers around the country and even the world come to compete in the series, and just all the different racetracks that we go to, just getting to learn how to make our kart better, and the different tracks that we race at. It was so much fun. We would always go 3-4 wide into corners. Like, it was always a battle throughout the races.
Interesting. And then, of course, last year, you won the U.S. Legends Tour National Qualifier down there in Texas Motor Speedway. Texas, obviously, of course, one of the more popular racetracks in NASCAR, obviously. How was that? When was that exactly? They said it was last year. When was that exactly? What month was that?
So it was a 5-day race, and it ended up being turned into a 6-day race because one of them got rained out for the Bandoleros, so they just decided to add an extra race for the Legend cars, and that extra race would turn into a national qualifier. I was second in points going into the national qualifier race, and that night on TV, there was an ad for a cotton candy machine, and my grandfather made a bet that if I won, I would end up getting it. So, during the race, we started. I think I started second or third, and I ended up making my way up to first with about 15 laps to go, and it started snowing. It was so cold. So, it ended up snowing on the track, so we kept racing because there are only 15 laps to go and they wanted to beat the storm. So every lap the track would get slicker and slicker, and just AK Performance and Kendall Sellers spotting me during the race. It just is one of the more difficult races that I've been in, just because I had to handle the car so much more to keep it on the track. And people were fighting so hard just to get the win and for getting the national qualifier. So it was definitely a hard race, but I ended up winning. And the best part about it was when I got out of the car, I told my grandfather, I'm like, now you get to buy me a cotton candy machine. So
that's funny. And of course, obviously we have the NASCAR race on now, and it is flat out windy and raining right now. They completely lost track over there, and they started it 10 minutes with lightning around the racetrack. That's gotta be hard and funny to race on snow. I'll probably have a difficult time doing that. I don't know how you guys
guys and gals pull that off, but you did. It sounds like you had a great time down there.
It was definitely a great time, and being the first female to win a battle at the Big Top race was probably even better than the race itself, but the national qualifier was a good title to have, but just being the first female to be able to do it was probably better.
Oh yeah, that title there that you have definitely is a headliner there for your resume there, so that's wonderful. We're just in the 3Y NASCAR podcast here. Eddie Gruder III joined on the line with Isabella Robusto here. She's currently running in the U.S. Legend Car Semi-Pro Series. Just got a few minutes with her here this afternoon on this gorgeous Sunday afternoon here in Manhattan, Kansas, while it is pouring down rain in Chicagoland Speedway. Do you enjoy running in Charlotte Motor Speedway, where obviously all the NASCAR folks are circulated there? Charlotte's one of the more popular racetracks, if not the most popular in NASCAR. Do you enjoy Charlotte?
Yeah, I enjoy Charlotte a lot. Like, all of the big NASCAR teams are right near the track. Like, Hendrick is not even 2 miles away from the track. And just having all of the NASCAR executives and stuff, some of them even come to our races. And Bubba Wallace is racing the summer shootout this year.
Yeah, I saw that.
And just NASCAR drivers are coming to come and see us race, and they just tell us about their stories when they race legend cars. And it's just really cool that we get to see how they came through the legend car series. Mm-hmm. And we get to go to the owner's shops around Hendrick and stuff after, or even before practice starts some days.
Nice.
We go and visit the shops, and the Rev team shop is about 2 miles away from the shop, so before practice I can go there and work on the late models with the team and just getting to work with the cars. And even my spotter Wayne works at Hendrick for the working on the body of Chase Elliott's car.
For the Speedway cars.
Okay. Oh, nice. Very, very nice to go around. That's awesome to go around the different shops over there in Charlotte to see that kind of stuff. So that's pretty fun right there. Do you have a favorite NASCAR driver?
My favorite NASCAR driver is probably Kyle Larson, just because what he's been able to accomplish, and he came through the NASCAR diversity program just like I am.
Yeah, that's been a popular driver there for some of the guests that we've had on the show here in recent episodes here on the 3Y NASCAR podcast. Not a bad driver for sure. Kyle Larson definitely makes the races exciting for sure. All right, again, just a couple more questions here for you, Isabella, and I will let you go here. All right, so do you know your toughest person that you race against, your biggest competitor out on the racetrack?
My biggest competitor is definitely my brother, just because it's always a race inside of the race. Like, we always want to win the overall race, but on the other hand, I really just want to end up beating him just for bragging rights after the race and just getting to race against him because he's my twin brother. It just makes it a challenge throughout the races because every race we try to beat each other.
Yeah, I can probably attest to that. Not on the NASCAR side, obviously, but definitely you have your biggest, sometimes your biggest competitor is your sibling, and you want to have those bragging rights. So I can definitely attest to that. Isabella, I know we got 4th of July coming here. Do you have any big summer plans in the 4th of July?
No, not for 4th of July weekend. It's just going to be kind of a stay-at-home weekend just to have fun, stay at the pool. And we have the Tuesday night race at Charlotte Motor Speedway where they've got fireworks and autograph sessions. And there's going to be around 5,000 people that come to see it.
Okay, that's going to be fun. So those listeners out here who are living in the north state of North Carolina, especially around that area, going to have to go check that out. Isabella, you have any hobbies outside of racing?
I would say school is definitely a big one on the list. I focus on school as much as I do racing because my dad doesn't let us race unless we have all A's. So I focus on school the most, just that I've gotten into all of the GT classes and the honors classes throughout all of my years of school. I'm in Beta Club, and I'm the vice president of Beta Club. And school is definitely an important thing along with racing. And then sports on the side, from track to basketball and football.
Okay, all right. So you mentioned earlier that you were the high jump. And what was the other part in track?
High jump and long jump champion. And I also came in second for the 400 meter. For the Fort Mill School District.
Very nice, Isabel. Yeah, my specialty was the 400, so I was all American in my division in that. So yeah, that's awesome.
What was your time for the 400?
Fastest time in the 400 was a 48.8.
Okay, yeah, that's a lot faster than mine.
so where I came from, and I went to high school down in Florida, and it's very competitive down there, but yeah, that was my time, so very, very fast. All right, so Isabella, what are your goals for the rest of the year?
To place top three in the summer shootout and hopefully collect some more wins along with the last races, and just getting to learn every single race and helping out my teammates as well, my other Rev youth program teammates, helping them and getting throughout the year. I've been helping them with the data and telling them how the track is, what line they should run, how the cars kind of work, just helping them get used to how a legend car runs, seeing that they all came from they're all rookie drivers. One came from iRacing, and then two of them came from go-karting. So just the transition from a go-kart to a legend car, skipping the bando altogether, it's a hard transition. So just helping them get better throughout the year. Also, getting into the late model more. Practicing is going to be a big one. We did Myrtle Beach earlier this week, and just getting to know all of the late model trucks better and better, so next year when we get into the late model, I can just roll straight into the races instead of having to worry about getting to learn the track and how the car works on them.
Yeah, that's definitely an advantage when you've been in those type of cars and you know what to expect from them. So that's an easier transition there. Do you know your teammates' names that you work with?
Yes, Lacey Kuhl. She came from Flat Dirt Carts. Blake, he came from Go Karts. And Raja Pruth came from iRacing.
Okay, yeah, I've heard a lot about iRacing. I'm not familiar with iRacing, but I've heard tons about it. So, interesting. All right, Isabella, before we let you go here for the rest of the day, tell our listeners where to follow you on social media.
So you can follow me on Instagram at @Isabella_Robusto_55. You can follow me on Twitter @IsabellaRobusto and @RobustoRacing. And you can follow me on Facebook @IsabellaRobusto and @RobustoRacing.
Excellent. And what's your car number in the U.S. Legend Division?
My car number is 55.
Okay.
And it's a tie-dye car.
All right. Cool deal. All right, Isabella. Well, thank you for taking time out of your Sunday to talk with me. And good luck the rest of the way in the Summer Nationals. And good luck the rest of the year.
Thank you.
Folks.
That was awesome. A last minute deal there. Put together there. Shout out to Christy for putting this all together once again. This was awesome. Another interview in the books. Shout out to Isabella Robusto there from the U.S. Division. U.S. Legend, semi-pro division there. And she's coming off a test from Myrtle Beach in... Yeah, and she congratulations to her on winning her first race last week there. So kind of let that slip a little bit. But anyways, congratulations and thanks once again to Isabella Robusto for joining the 3Y NASCAR podcast for today here on the 3Y NASCAR podcast. EG3, just a couple more minutes before we let y'all go here. Just a quick update real quick before we sign off here on the 3Y NASCAR podcast. Boy, Big D, your eyes lit up when you saw Chicagoland Speedway. Man, that rain came, and when it came, it hit harder than rocks. Man, they lost the track completely there. And again, like segment one of the podcast, question, why did they start the race anyways when there was dangerous clouds in the area? I do not know why, but at the end of the day, safety what matters, and all the cars obviously are on covers, and NASCAR NBC right now is showing the finish of last year's thrilling finish, obviously, between Kyle Busch and Kyle Larson. So right now, as we're recording this, red flag at Chicagoland Speedway for which was severe lightning in the area, which turned into a torrential downpour at Joliet. So again, we'll be tuning in to see if they can get this race back going. Obviously, Chicagoland has lights and everything in between, so see what happens there. And Jimmy Johnson, as of his current point in time, is leading the race over Kevin Harvick, who was second. Austin Dillon, I believe, was either third or fourth when the red flag was brought out. So again, winners this past weekend already. Cole Custer, another dominating performance. How many times have we said it? At least three of his four wins now have been taken to the woodshed and beat down a competition. And Brett Moffitt scoring another win this time, actually winning the race this time and not being handed a win in the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series race, the Kenworld 225, which happened on Friday night. So we will keep a close eye. I'm sure you guys will too. This interview will be up tomorrow night. And again, if you missed out on Gracie's interview, please go download it, check it out, and of course download all the episodes that have been posted the last couple weeks, including those interviews. And I've enjoyed interviewing Isabella here this afternoon. Great sounds like a great young lady there, obviously making ways through the ranks there, and obviously that's awesome when you have parents there that put schooling first before anything else there. So that's very important in schooling there, and especially goals are that high. We're talking about earning your free time, if you will. You need straight A's before you even step out to the racetrack there. So definitely eye-opening. That's what I call discipline right there, and that's what sometimes what some of these kids in this new generation need sometimes is you can't have everything handed to you on a silver platter. You got to go out and earn it right there. And definitely sounds like Isabella's parents are old school right there. That's what, like, Big D, thanks for coming over on kind of a late notice there for your help there. And hey, you're going to be sticking around. Yep, that's the plan. You'll stick around and see what happens with this race right here. Let's break this down for the ladies and gents. Ladies and gentlemen, It's a wrap for another bonus edition of the 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3. Hope you guys enjoyed the interview with Isabella Robusto. A special thanks to Isabella for taking time from her Sunday afternoon to join EG3, aka me, for the show. Thank you for that. Thank you guys for tuning in to the 3Y NASCAR podcast. You'll hear from us obviously later this week for the post-race recap
from Chicagoland. You happen to listen to the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast. We out.
Spotify, and more. We'll see you next time going 3-Wide.